Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
My mission is to build a space for women where they can come feel supported, empowered, get the tools they need to reach their goals, whatever those goals might be.
The lens is also just a default lens. You need a better lens, but you know, that's all YouTube. Actually, you might be looking into that kind of stuff, you know, when you're trying to get your Insta game up, right?
We're trying. Exactly. We're trying to grow the Insta game. We have a new baby Instagram.
That's right.
What?
I was going to say, let's intro.
Oh, should we intro?
Yeah, like we're just going on and on in our conversation.
I forgot that we actually had a podcast recording.
Introduce her.
Welcome back, guys, to the Cousin
Connection podcast.
And today, we got a special guest coming all the way. Why am I doing like this? Coming all the way from Calgary. The one and only. The girl that Sada always keeps talking about. But finally have her in person. Marwa.
Insert clapping.
Yeah.
I feel like I've referred to her in so many episodes, and now you guys have a face to the name.
Hi.
Yeah. AKA what? Nutritionist. AKA personal trainer.
Therapist.
Life coach. I also do boxing now.
Oh, I saw that too.
Yeah. That's something that I'm dabbling in a little bit.
Okay.
Mainly personal training, online coaching, nutrition coaching.
Yeah.
That's my avenue.
Yeah, your avenue right now. And you know, as everyone knows, you know, I'm an avid like pseudo nutritionist slash trainer slash all the things she mentioned. Except for me, the therapist part, I need my own help, okay? But so you know, we're definitely gonna have a lot of opinions on this episode. But you're a professional here, okay? So we're gonna be learning from you, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay,
so first off, we wanna start off with just letting everyone know who you are.
Yeah.
Okay, I said your name is Marwa, but your full Instagram name is...
My name, so Marwa, or Marwa Chawish. Mm-hmm. I'm so used to saying it like the English way, Marwa Chawish.
Oh, really?
No, yeah. Don't even.
Don't even.
Don't do that here.
Marwa Chawish is my Instagram handle.
And tell us like about your background. Like,
how'd you get into the personal training?
How'd you get into personal training? Because this is not really something that like a lot of people in our communities kind of like get into.
Yeah.
So when you have someone who does that, like what was your motivation? What got you into this?
Okay. It's almost a cliche, but it's really not at the same time. Yeah. So I started working out when I was like 14.
That's early.
Okay. We had like a all women's gym by our house.
Which is really rare.
Really rare. Mm-hmm. So my mom would go, and then she like would take me with her sometimes.
Your mom actually went before you?
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was $20 a month gym membership. This is when gyms were still affordable.
Yeah.
And so she would go and then she would take me with her.
Yeah.
And so I just kind of like liked it. Mm-hmm. And then I got into sports in high school.
Mm-hmm. What was your sport of choice?
So I did a few.
Okay. Look at you, multifaceted.
She was team captain of the basketball team in grade eight as the 5 foot queen.
So just getting to 5 foot two. You
know, no, literally five foot, 60 inches. And then so none of them went professional. Let me get that straight.
You know the 5 feet thing. Kind of.
No, as in like, yeah.
I'm playing.
And then, I was 15 at the time. Mm-hmm. I was in rugby and I really liked rugby.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
But I was also working out at the same time.
Mm-hmm. That kind of helped.
It was hard on me. It was so hard on my body.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up just going with working out. And it wasn't anything consistent. It was just like I'd go to the gym a little bit.
Yeah.
Do my thing. I wasn't overweight. Mm-hmm. I was what we'd call skinny fat in layman terms. Mm-hmm. So the scale was small, but my body fat percentage was a lot higher. So it was very, like...
That's a big, like, deception a lot of people...
Exactly.
Think, right? Yeah.
Yeah, just because the number on the scale is small doesn't mean you're quote-unquote healthy.
Right. Yeah.
So we moved to Calgary. I was 16. It was the summer between my senior year of high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew people, but I didn't really know people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I started my high school year, my last year, senior year, And I had no friends. I had like one friend that I knew him.
Yeah, that's a from, hard like, time to start.
The Muslim community. Yeah. He was in a grade younger. So him and I would like hang out. But then he had all his friends because he was born in Calgary. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I just had like a really hard time. Mm-hmm. And depression said, hey, sis, how you doing?
Yeah, it hits about then. Yeah. Because a lot of things are changing then. You're finishing high school. You're thinking about what you're doing next.
Right. I wanted to all be an engineer and then I failed physics.
We all wanted to be engineers. Okay. So,
I it took me a long time to like make friends in mm-hmm. Calgary and like connect with people. Mm-hmm. So when on like my lunches or like spares, because I only had a few classes to take in grade 12, I would just go to the gym. Because I didn't it was such a culture shock coming to Calgary from Vancouver, because it was very different culture, like extremely different cultures. Mm-hmm. And I just had a hard time connecting with people. I had a really hard time connecting with people. So yeah, on like my spares, I would just take the bus. I'd go to Gold's Gym.
And I would Gym? Okay.
Yeah. She was a Gold's Gym girlie.
Yeah.
I was also the one gym that illegally gave me I should not be on this podcast. They gave me a membership under the age of 18 by myself without parent consent.
Allegedly,
sorry. there was just like a bunch of cool equipment.
Yeah.
And I just fell in love with it. Mm-hmm. And then there's this mental aspect that comes to fitness that you just fall in love with. Like, if I'm gonna go into detail, I'll go into detail. Mm-hmm. But
we're gonna get into detail for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, did that, and then I was really committed. Like that was, we're talking like I was going 5 days a week. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Graduated high school, didn't know what I was gonna do with my life.
Yeah.
All I knew is like I didn't believe in going to university to upgrade, because I'm like, I'm not redoing quote unquote high school.
Yeah.
And so I just did like the retail life for a little bit, a very short period of time, until I realized this is not.
But like that's a smart move. Like if you don't know what to do next, don't go into debt immediately, like making the wrong choices or making choices that you think are right, but you're not fully in them. Because then you find yourself $10,000 in debt or whatever, depending on what you're paying into it. And you still don't know what you're doing.
Right.
You want to restart all these things. But it's better to just take your time, even if you feel like, you know, it wasn't the best.
Yeah, like, did I feel like I was behind in an aspect? Yeah, I did, compared to the people that were in my life at that time. I did feel like I was behind, but I didn't know what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of came to this point where I was like, I like fitness. Mm-hmm. I like working out. Let me just take a course. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what it would entail. I didn't know what it would look like, but I was like, let me just give it a shot. Mm-hmm. So there was an academy that offered like a 6-month personal training diploma. Nice. And then you get a diploma and your certification.
Yeah.
And your certification's internationally recognized. So I could have worked anywhere if I wanted to. I go, I'm in the course. First month, I'm working full time. I'm in school full time. Mm-hmm. So I'd wake up at like 5 a.m., I would go to school, I'd finish school at 12, and then I'd work 1 to 10. Repeat.
Wow.
Damn.
And then the first 2 months in, I ended up getting into a really bad car accident.
Oh.
I was overworked, burnt out, okay. I was tired, and ended up falling asleep while I was driving.
Oh, no.
And I drove off the side of the road. My car did a little cartwheel.
No.
Shit.
Yeah, there was a little loop-de-loop.
At what point did you wake up?
You say that with a smile.
You want to know what? Because it wasn't my first one, but it was the first one that put like a reality check in my brain.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Wait, it wasn't your first crash?
No.
Oh my God.
No. No. And I remember, so I opened my eyes and everything's black.
Yeah.
Like when I tell
this is post-crash you open your eyes?
Yeah, post-crash. Okay, yeah. I opened my eyes, everything's black. Mm-hmm. I'm like, did I just die?
Oh,
this
God.
Is the literal thought process that's happening in my brain. Yeah. I'm like, did I just, like, am I dead?
Yeah.
And then a guy comes, he pulls the shirt from over my head because my shirt is flying over my head. So a guy comes, he pulls her shirt off my head.
Yeah.
And he's like, are you okay? And I was like, so I didn't die?
Oh my God.
And then it was this like moment where I was like, okay, make a choice. Mm-hmm. Either commit to this or like you gotta give somewhere.
Yeah.
And at that point, it was just like full throttle fitness. Mm-hmm. Because I rehabbed myself. I hid it from my parents for so long. I told my dad I sold my car to pay for university.
Oh my God.
He didn't find out until like 2 years ago.
Crash?
He didn't know.
Oh. How did he not know?
I didn't tell him.
No, she didn't get injured. Like,
No, I did.
Oh, you did get injured.
I did, but I just hit it. I hit it really well.
How?
So I called my sister. She came. Mm.
There's always got to be a sibling who's in on it.
Yeah, yeah. And then I told my mom. Yeah. But I made them both promise like they weren't going to tell my dad.
Okay.
So they didn't tell him until like 2-3 years later.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah, I think even more.
Just at the dinner table, was like, hey, Dad, so what?
Yeah, I don't know how they told him.
Yeah.
I wasn't there for the story, but they ended up telling him.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, there was such an internal shame there that I just didn't want to.
No, I think we all have that, like, where you just don't want to burden them with, like, the thought of that, right?
I didn't want to. It was this, I didn't want to disappoint them.
Mm.
And yeah, it was at that point I made the decision of fully committing to being a personal trainer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I finished my course with a 94%, and that was like the highest grade I'd ever gotten in my life. Yeah.
But it shows that you loved it, right?
Yeah. I did. Mm-hmm. I really did. And yeah, it's just I got hired at a corporate gym after, and 6 years later, here we are.
Wow.
I was gonna say, like, I've always dreamed, like, if I could redo everything, what path would I follow? And I feel like that's where our path kind of like split. Like, you did the thing that I might have done if I was more committed into it. Because I actually took a break after school. I did go to university, and the reason that I was actually saying don't waste your money is because that's coming from experience, right? I went to university at first, then dropped out, and then went to school afterwards and got a diploma and something else, right? But sometimes you just have to make that like hard choice and be like, you know what, I'm just gonna commit this. Like, I'm still young, I still have time to make mistakes or do things that I love, and inshallah, like, it works out into something positive like it did for you, right?
Taking that a step further, fun fact, I like to take things deep.
Okay, let's go deeper here.
So that's how I do things. So you guys can let me know how you feel about things. Taking that one step further, when you exercise, every rep, every set, you have the choice of whether or not you're going to believe in yourself.
True.
When that set gets hard, are you going to keep going or are you going to stop? You keep going. You do the next set. It gets hard.
Yeah.
You keep going. The next day, you're tired. You go to the gym. You do a workout.
It's all. And it's a lot of mental.
It's that mental
strength.
That you build within yourself. That self belief that you build in yourself.
Yeah.
It's like, if I can do that, well, why not?
Yeah. It translates to almost every aspect of your life, right? If you have that ability to like commit to something, show dedication, even when you hate it and you wake up, it's raining outside, your body's hurting, and you still get up to like 8 o'clock. I'm gonna make it sound better. 8 o'clock in the morning and still go to the gym.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like that really does build up your mental fortitude, and like you're able to translate that into all aspects of life, and it makes you more of a disciplined person overall.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, for me, like, that's the beauty in exercise.
Right.
It's not the body that you get. It's that mental, internal, intrinsic motivation you build.
Yeah.
Day after day, set after set, rep after rep. Like, what more?
Exactly.
Right.
So that's something that I try, and you know, maybe they'll listen to this stuff. You know, this is something I've been trying to translate to a lot of my friends and cousins and stuff, is that like I'm telling them, like, don't think about like the end result, right? Think about the journey. The journey is really what you'll grow the most from, right? Because people think, oh, you know, I want to go to the gym so I can lose a few pounds, that kind of thing, or like I can gain a certain body, whatever that kind of thing. But that's not, at the end, when you actually start doing it, you realize that's not the most important thing, right? Like, a lot of times people go to the gym for like, it helps with your mental health overall, like we were talking about, right? And like, people just need something to release, and lifting weights does that for you, right? And when you're lifting weights, let's say there's a lot going on in your life, the moment you commit to picking up that weight, the only thing you can focus on is that weight. So it kind of is almost like you get into like a zen mode, or like a type of peaceful, or
it's a release, or maybe distraction for a little bit.
Exactly.
Escape, if you want to call it.
And also
that.
People at the gym, sometimes I use it, I don't know about you, but I use it as a way to like think things through, right? As you're working out between sets, you're like, okay, you know, you're in a more calm state, so you can kind of think a lot of things through. But I don't know if you can relate to that in any way, for at least when it comes to the gym, that's how I think about it.
So being a trainer for like over half a decade, I've had to build different relationships with the gym. So there's the relationship for me where I go as a personal trainer and I'm there for my clients. And then there's the times where I'm there it's I'm so sorry. No, and then there's the times when I go and it's my workout time. And I've had to learn how to differentiate both because when you're in a gym 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, there's a part of you that I would be lying if I said, like, man, I don't want to work out. I've been here since 6 this morning. It's 7 p.m. I don't want to.
I see that a lot with personal trainers.
So you end up having to get a different gym membership. Even going to a different location just to change your environment. Because when you spend, again, 13 hours in a gym, you it's this thing. And when it comes to clients, you know, one of the biggest things I've had to learn is what I want for people might not be what they want for themselves. And where you show compassion is there. Because, I can have a client pay me to come to the gym 3 times a week. And they pay. But they cancel last minute. They no-show. What? I'm texting you. I'm calling you. I've programmed for you. I've meal planned for you. What? Am I supposed to go pick you up from your house too? At some point, it becomes that person's responsibility. So as a coach, I've had to come to terms with that. Even in my online, like when it comes to my online nutrition coaching or my online training, I have meal plans, meal by meal, broken down for clients. Macro goals, measurements, habits, vitamins, the times. Like everything is broken down. And some clients come up with, well, I couldn't do it this week due to this, this, this. Am I supposed to come to your house and help you? Actually, no.
No?
No.
I looked over to you. That's like...
Yeah. I didn't even notice. Yo, not you calling me out. I stick to my shit, okay?
She really does. Like, truthfully. If Sada does one thing, it's she will consistently, every week, show up to the best of her abilities.
Okay.
Yeah.
You tell me. I'm just saying.
But yeah, so I've had to understand that as a coach. I could, like, there's clients I've literally offered, hey, let's do a meal prep day together. I'll come to your house. Let's meal prep together.
You do that?
I've offered it to clients. I've done it with a client before,
Wow.
And we, like, broke things down. I've gone grocery shopping with clients.
At the end of the day, they have to want it, right?
That's they have to want it. You can pay me. Thank you for investing in me. But I need you to look at it as an investment in yourself.
Right.
That's all you're doing. So I've had to learn, and it took a long time to learn that. And it also took a long time to learn the people who want it. Life comes up. Life happens. But they get back up and they keep going.
But I'm sure it was like kind of disheartening, like whenever initially when you started, where you were trying to like give everyone, set someone up perfectly, and they still fail at what they're trying to do. Like, I'm sure you probably, that's the, I personally would take that hard because I'd be like, what am I doing wrong?
But you have to learn to let go and don't personalize the actions or the decisions of somebody else. Like, yes, you're helping them. But you have to remember that you can only help someone as much as they want to help themselves.
But otherwise, I feel like every trainer, at least specifically, might go through that journey. I don't know about you, how you felt initially when you started, when they weren't doing what you were saying, or...
Do you ever feel like, okay, fine, I don't want to work with you anymore?
I have fired clients before. I have fired clients before.
Maybe I'm not the best for you.
For multitudes of reasons. First, I became, like, I was working as a trainer at 18. So
that's crazy.
I was a little baby.
You're already little.
I feel like the height jokes are going to be so real.
I'm sorry. Now I have a second person.
I know. I hear it all the time. But yeah, I'm like 18 years old, 5 foot, and I'm like, let me be your coach. I had to show up in many different ways for people to want to work with me.
They doubt you initially?
They did. And also, there is another aspect to it where you're different. I look different. I was being portrayed different. You get attention as a coach that you don't want. So for the first few years of my career, I never trained males.
Really? Look different in what sense, though? Like, what do you mean by that? Like, I know your answer, but, you know.
Okay, so you want me to get into it. Okay. Like, being a hijabi personal trainer at the time, mm-hmm. who is she?
Yeah.
We've never seen one before.
Because mm-hmm. This is in Calgary, right?
It was in Calgary.
The population isn't really that big. Actually, no.
It is, but I think it wasn't as diverse when she probably mm-hmm. first started.
There was me, and I think, I don't know if she's your cousin or a friend, but I think her name is Nabat Shadid.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
Her and I worked at Good Life at the same time.
Really?
And I only knew that from her Instagram.
Wait, she was in Calgary?
No, like, she lived here.
Okay.
Did you live here, too?
No. She lived here, but, like, okay. I saw her, and we were like, the only ones that I had heard of.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm 18, mm-hmm. I'm 5 foot,
yeah.
little hijabi. People had more questions than wanting to invest in mm-hmm. me. Mm. So I had to establish myself in different ways for people to actually want to take me seriously.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you feel like, so, because I'm sure the client base or even your experience as a whole as a hijabi personal trainer would have been very different if you were here, for example, where it's a lot more multicultural, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
So Calgary is a very multicultural place.
Oh,
okay. In the sense of, like, the Arab community there is massive. Mm-hmm. Do they all get along? No.
Yeah.
Okay.
But is it big? Yes. Mm. Because I was entering a space that was so new
mm-hmm.
that had never been done in that sphere. And I worked at
By our community specifically. Yeah, by Muslim community.
By the Muslim community. Yeah. And I didn't work at an all-women's gym.
Mm-hmm.
I worked at co-ed gym.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that purposely
mm-hmm.
because my brain was like, no, show up.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. I want to show up and I want my clients to show up.
Yeah.
So I was new to the space. Like, this was,
mm-hmm.
it wasn't taken well by a lot of people.
Yeah.
And it was taken well by a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But interestingly enough, I had never faced any form of discrimination.
Good.
Any form of, like, alhamdulillah, no form of, like, racism by any means.
Mm-hmm. To your face or anything like
that. To my face. Mm-hmm. Like, I had such a good, strong platform.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lot of support. That was nothing. It was just more so, I'm 18 years old. I'm, like, this tall.
Yeah.
Like, it's just putting my foot in the door more so than anything.
Yeah.
Right.
And then you get to a point where you have a lot more men hit on you than actually want to work with you.
Really? Mm. Yeah. Actually, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
absolutely. Okay. And they see you almost as like an object mm-hmm. rather than a professional. So yeah, I had a very specific age range that I worked with when it came to males. I would not train any males under the age of 50.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, like, it was like, I was like, I would refuse the client.
And like, when you're saying, because I think when you're working at a gym, they give you the clients, or how does that work again?
They book clients. So if you worked at a corporate gym, mm-hmm. like a big box gym, two things would happen. Either people who would come in would see your face on the personal training board.
Yeah.
Mm. And they'd be like, oh, her credentials are cool. I like what she stands for. Because mm-hmm. for me, at that time, mental health was a really big driver for me
mm-hmm.
in my fitness practice.
Yeah.
Right.
So people would come to me mm-hmm. and they'd be like, I want to work with you because of your message.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then you would get sometimes the people who would sell like one session to a new member.
Yeah.
They'd be like, I think you would do really good with Merwa.
Okay.
So yeah, it varied. it varied like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I had one too many instances where I would just like, they took it as a session to make fun of the fact that I was a trainer and like hit on me.
Yeah.
I was like,
people did that to your face?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
What?
Wow.
Yeah.
They paid for a session to be able to just.
Yeah, pretty much.
Dig on you?
Yeah.
That makes no sense.
Yeah, that does.
I'm
guessing those were like the men who were under the age of 50.
Yeah, this was like men early 20s.
Yeah.
Well, boys actually.
Yeah.
Early 20s, like early 30s. It just, it happened too many times that I was like, realistically, you're not my main clientele that I'm trying to work with anyways.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I'm good not training you. If that's going to impact my business, mm-hmm. I'm actually fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
So I just put, like, while I worked at this big box gym,
mm-hmm.
I had a few clients already who were males. they were older. There was a very respectful relationship that was established. Mm-hmm. Worked with them for 5 years. I still work with one of them now. It's been like 6 years. Mm. Very well established
relationship,
coach client relationship. Mm-hmm. Now, if I have younger males come, the vetting process, mm-hmm. 9 times out of 10, it's like, no.
Yeah, you got to pull up their Instagram and be like, okay, so how many literally. Picks do you have?
Really? Literally. It depends on how they, like, I went private, mm-hmm. and I had this one individual. Somehow they got my number, apparently, that they got it from someone at the gym that I used to work at, mm-hmm. and they were interested in nutrition coaching. Already, I was, like, kind of red flaggy because that would never happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, they can't just give out your information to some random people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he's like, I'm really interested in nutrition coaching. I was like, cool. I'm self-employed.
At an enterprise level, nothing is more important than communication. Grammarly for Enterprise enables your team to work smarter and faster. Other AI tools can't quantify business impact, but Grammarly gives you actionable insights and measurable results with features like their effective communication score, which tracks key metrics so you can make data-driven decisions to improve outcomes. Visit grammarly.com/enterprise. That's grammarly.com/enterprise.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Employed now. I'm excited. Yeah. This is a new client. And I was slightly iffy because of who he... I didn't know him.
Yeah.
But I forget that this is live. So, like, I'm trying to, like...
If you want it to be edited out, we will.
Okay.
Don't worry.
So, anyways, this individual, mm-hmm. we set up a consultation and I'm doing the whole thing. It's like 45 minutes. I'm going through my questionnaire, asking about his mental health, his mm-hmm. environment. Because those things matter to me in my practice.
Yeah.
And I'll get into my practice here. But really establishing a baseline. Mm-hmm. 45 minutes goes by. I'm like, cool. If you're interested in...
This is in person or...
This is an online, like, online. Okay. Zoom consult.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And I do the whole 45 minutes, okay? Mm-hmm. And I break down my prices. I'm like, which one would you like to go with? Which package option?
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, I got to be honest with you.
Oh, that's when they start with that. Come on.
The way my eyes roll. He's like, you know, I didn't actually want to hire you as a coach. I got your number from a friend of mine and I was wanting to know if you'd like want to go out with me.
What?
The way I...
He wasted.
I literally said to him, I looked at him over Zoom and I said, you wasted 45 minutes of my life.
Yeah.
God.
Disrespecting my practice.
Yeah.
To ask me out. If that doesn't answer your question,
yeah.
No. The answer is no.
Call ended.
Yeah, no. And then I blocked him off of everything.
Yeah.
Because I was like, how dare you disrespect my practice?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You want to say, oh, you're a fellow Arab trying to make it entrepreneur, and then you disrespect me like that?
Yeah.
I was like, no.
That's not cool. I feel mm-hmm. like if he's going to get your number, then just... Say what your intentions are from the jump.
That's mm-hmm. what I said.
Don't sit there and be like, yeah, I want a nutrition consultation.
I'm like, you had the number.
Yeah.
Someone was witty enough to give you my number.
Yeah.
Right.
You could have just... Anyways. that's why I have very, like, specific guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
Because I take, especially now being self-employed and what my mission is.
Yeah. Right.
It is so serious to me mm-hmm. that if you try to mess with it...
Mm-hmm.
There are repercussions that will they're not repercussions, but I don't take myself as a joke.
Yeah,
especially when it comes to my practice.
You shouldn't. It's your business and it's your, you know, your form of income, but you're also very passionate about it. So like, don't play.
Don't play with me, especially when it comes to like the way my like, so my company is called Elemental Fitness. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the reason it's called Elemental Fitness is because I stand for three things: mind, body, and soul. Mm-hmm. So everything that I do in my practice, we talk about your mental health. We talk about your stressors. Yeah. We talk about your environment, especially because a lot of my female clientele are women of color. Mm-hmm. There's a whole thing there that needs to be talked about when it comes to nutrition. Because mm-hmm. if you get a client who's so used to eating their culture food, mm-hmm. and then they get a coach that goes, well, you can't eat that. That's not healthy. Mm-hmm. Did the coach even bother to educate themselves on what this culture's food typically looks like?
Yeah.
No, 9 times out of 10, mm-hmm. they just go, well, no, you need to eat a protein, a carb, and a vegetable. Mm-hmm. What does that even mean? Mm-hmm. So because my practice is so focused on building a healthy space for women to come and feel supported and get guidance and get education when it comes to mental well-being, mm-hmm. when it comes to life, when it comes to nutrition, exercise, because there is not just one way.
Yeah, so it's more of a, like a holistic view of everything.
Absolutely. Mm.
Mm, that makes sense.
And it matters so much to me mm-hmm. that I don't take it as a joke.
Yeah, when which you shouldn't, especially if it's your babies, your company, right? You want to make sure that this thing or... It's to use more than a company, right? It's like more. What was it, your mission essentially? Was that
my mission? Is to build a space for women where they can come, feel supported, empowered, mm-hmm. get the tools they need to reach their goals, whatever those goals might be.
Yeah, because mind, body, and soul is. I think not a lot of people realize that. Like, when you are going to go on a fitness journey, it's a lot more than just going to the gym, right?
Yeah,
like you have to make sure there's everything else going on in your life is also supporting this journey.
I once worked with a client, mm-hmm. and for confidentiality reasons, I'm going to keep it very little slim here. I worked with a client one time. Due to social media, she had thought eating 800 calories a day was enough. She wasn't getting a period. Mm-hmm. She had a lot of hormonal issues. There was a lot happening in her body, and she wanted to lose weight. That was her goal. Mm-hmm. Well, babe, I can't lower your calorie. Like, So we had to sit there once and talk about, and I had to like educate her on what a calorie deficit actually is and mm-hmm. what it would look like and what her maintenance calories would be. Mm-hmm. And we had to slowly like put her into a reverse diet to mm-hmm. get her calories back up. And so as I raised her calories, like 1,000 calories, she lost 20 pounds.
Yeah, that crazy. Makes sense.
Yeah.
But I was going to say like that, we can, you know, kind of veer off a little bit here because I always talk about calories and calorie intake and, you know, the deficit versus the
surplus.
And one fundamental fact that I always like kind of fight with them about.
You know, is that, I don't argue with you. I hear you and I always agree.
Okay. But essentially, I'm always like, no matter what, at the end of the day, if you're taking in less calories than your body is expending, you technically will lose weight.
Okay.
Over a period of time.
I have to interject.
What?
Because that is the basic formula for someone who has normal hormones. For a man, basically, who doesn't have a hormonal imbalance. It's
thermodynamics.
And I understand. You're not wrong. But two things can be true.
We have a professional here, okay?
We'll let her weigh in.
Let's see what you have to say.
I want you guys to keep going. And let me just be an observer for a minute here.
So for them, a lot of... The reason I mentioned deficits a lot is because people always say, oh, I'm on this diet. And I hate diets with a passion. Like specific diets. Like saying, I'm going on keto or I'm going on... what's another diet?
Carnivore diet?
Carnivore is sort of like a diet, but like keto specifically, I hate with a passion. I don't know what your opinion on is. I'm always telling them I don't hate them for advanced people who can who are more disciplined in life. But if you're a beginner and you're just starting out, I feel like simply trying to stick to slightly under your maintenance calories deficit, like maybe 300-500 calories max, like no matter what, you will lose weight.
Okay, but can I tell you my experience?
Tell me your experience.
So a couple years ago, before I ever worked with Marwa, before I worked with Nabat Sharif at one point, I tried the keto diet. Mm-hmm. And it was so random how I even came about it. That I don't know if I ever told you the story, but someone who watched Aisha was like a big fan of her, followed me on Instagram, and she like lost like 200 pounds or something. It was like an unbelievable amount. I know. I was like, wow. Like, I didn't believe her.
Yeah.
So I was like, how'd you do it? And so she's like, oh, I did keto. And I've never heard of keto before that. So I'm like, what the hell is keto? So she was like, basically someone who became a nutritionist just through her own experience. Like, she became really passionate about it. So she went to school, did all the whole thing, right? So she's like, oh, I love you and Aisha so much. Like, I'll write you a free meal plan.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's it. And I was like, what's the catch? She's like, nothing. I was like, okay. So this random girl, and she was like from South Africa. Mm-hmm. We became friends. Like, I took her number. She made me a whole meal plan.
Yeah.
And I followed it to a T.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even joking. Like, within 4 weeks, I think I had lost 11 pounds. By five weeks, it was like...
And you're following it to the T, right?
Yeah. Like, there were some things that I wasn't eating. Like, I would substitute it. Yeah. But I also... like, I was so strict on it, and I made sure to eat whatever was on there. I didn't work out at all. Like, at all. I did no workouts.
Yeah. Which makes sense.
Yeah.
Because.
But.
What?
But here's the thing. You were I'm pretty sure I was in a calorie deficit, because that was also, like, around the time of my brother's wedding. I was running around. Like, I was still active in my day-to-day. I wasn't, like intentionally working out, though. Then when I stopped keto... obviously my body went into shock and I got sick so bad. Like, I couldn't eat anything. I couldn't stomach regular food again.
It's called the, I think it's out of called ketosis. The keto flu or the ketosis flu.
Yeah. Like, when you break ketosis.
Yeah. Happens. When I was breaking it, like, I couldn't tolerate anything. Like, everything that I ate made my stomach hurt. And I was like, oh my God, I have to eat like this forever. Like, so I remember, like, I didn't gain any of the weight back as I was slowly introducing foods. Like, my body just kind of stayed status quo. Then I went on vacation to Australia for a month. And you know how it is when I didn't, at the time, I wasn't educated enough on, like, how to eat when I'm on vacation. So I was kind of just like eating whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm not even joking. The way that the weight hit me by the end of the trip, like, my clothes were tight and I was like, what have I done? Like, and and I knew that I effed up, like, big time. But then it kind of just snowballed and snowballed and snowballed. And then hormone imbalance came about, and then this problem here and this problem here, and then I finally met her a couple years later, and I was like, help me.
Okay, there's a few things I want to touch on what you guys said. You are very right in the most basic term. The basic, like, not even surface level, like,
wait, what do you mean by basic in the calorie deficit thing?
I'm getting there.
Okay
So, like, you know the rock that's on top of the shallow? Like, you're not even you're not even surface level.
Oh,
you're
I see
on
what top you mean. Yeah. Level. Okay.
That's where calorie deficit would be.
Yeah.
And for a male, it is going to be 10 times easier for you to lose weight.
Yes. Than a woman. I told you.
Okay.
On the most basic level. So that's the first thing I'm going to touch on. Second thing I'm going to touch on. Why people tend to. Now, I'm going to disclaimer. I'm a nutrition coach and I am a personal trainer. I'm not a scientist. However, why people tend to lose dramatic amounts of weight going on keto is because carbs turn into glycogen in the body, which holds water. So when you remove the carbs, you remove the glycogen from the body.
Losing all the water weight.
You lose the water weight. That's why the weight bounces, like, the weight just melts off right away. You introduce carbs back.
It comes back. That's why I hate keto.
And I don't disagree with you. I was just telling you my experience with it.
Yeah. So, like, there's all these different factors that are in play.
Yeah.
And I love men. But it seems as though there is not a lot of, like, you don't hear a lot of people talk about the differences with men and women when it comes to their bodies.
Yeah.
Like, a woman, before her menstrual cycle, a few days before, she can go up 5 pounds.
Yeah.
and then binge eat because her cravings are all over the place. And if she has an extremely irregular period, mm-hmm. that's going to be even worse. Yes, there is self-control. Self-control, discipline. Yeah, I get it. We mm-hmm. get it. But you're still a human being. Like, there's certain mechanisms that happen in your yeah. body that you can't really control.
Yeah.
So these things come into play. Now, the one thing I do want to touch on that you said, you went keto, you lost 11 pounds. I had a client who went keto who gave herself PCOS.
What?
Yes.
Because, like, her body was just not prepared for it? Or?
Women function differently than men. Mm-hmm. Keto was invented. Also, the keto diet you guys see nowadays, by the way,
yeah,
that's not even the actual real keto diet. Keto diet is mm-hmm. closer to, like, 2 to 5% of your total daily caloric intake
carbs.
Is carbs.
Yeah.
The ones you see nowadays are closer to about 8 to 10, 8 to 12. Mm-hmm. She gave herself PCOS going keto because, one, hormonal dysregulation. Mm-hmm. It is very easy, especially you think of cultural background, ethnicity, your genetic makeup, mm-hmm. your lifestyle.
All those things play a factor.
All those things play a factor. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, women tend to just get told, exercise and eat well and you will lose weight. Mm-hmm. Sis, you don't think I tried that? And so where I come into play yeah. and how I do my practice is a lot of people I work with are people who've had experiences like that. And then they come to me and mm-hmm. and they're like, I did it. Mm-hmm. I did the workouts. I did the dieting. I did this. Mm-hmm. And it's like you ask them, hey, scale of 1 to 10, where's your mental health? 3. Mm-hmm. Okay. Scale of 1 to 10, 10 being high. Where's your stress? 9. Is that regular? Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Scale of 1 to 10. Where's your sleep at? 10 being like you consistently get 8 hours of sleep. 1 being like you're an insomniac. Mm-hmm. About a 3. I have 3 kids that I take care of by myself. Okay. Mm-hmm. Your cortisol levels are through the roof. Your metabolism isn't even right by any means because you're not metabolizing, because you're not sleeping.
You're not on a regular schedule.
Mm. Like, mm-hmm. all these things come into play, and then they look at women and go, just exercise and eat right. Mm-hmm. Did anyone ask you, hey, how are you?
Mm. Yes. I hear you on all
of this. Sorry. This is where you're going to get a passionate metaphor, but okay. Carry on.
No, go ahead. Keep going. Sorry, I don't want to cut you off there.
No, go for it. That's okay.
No, I was going to say, all those things that you're saying, like, I agree with everything like that. Usually whenever I do mention the things that I'm mentioning are as a counter argument to someone saying I'm going on a diet.
Yeah.
Because I try to promote long-term habits, like building lifestyle. Good lifestyle habits, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, instead of even when it comes to the calorie deficit thing, I'm not saying, like, go on it right away. I'm saying, like, okay, first, like, start cutting out certain things
right.
out of your diet. Maybe if you feel like there's something you really want, like, make it something you eat at the end of the week, like once or something, right? At least build good habits and, like, slowly start taking out the things that are adding the calories and, like, maybe switch them out with something that's a little bit better and a little bit healthier. So building better habits is usually what I try to promote.
And I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
I think even from us doing the podcast together, and, like, I've definitely taken things from him, like, he does a daily walk, and I and you know, because we talk every week.
You know,
like,
the walks.
Yeah.
The hot girl walks are here to stay. But when it comes to the diet, because I've had that mm-hmm. same conversation with some of our friends who do diets, what they've said to me is, like, you know, it's doing this diet brings me discipline. If I just try to eat in a calorie deficit, mm-hmm. I still have cravings and I'll just, like, I don't have self-control. So a diet gives me discipline, mm-hmm. and that's why it works for them. But I'm like, yeah, but, you know, if you work with Marwa.
Exactly.
The question I would ask someone like that, my mm-hmm. rebuttal would be, well, what would happen when you came off that diet?
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
What tends to happen is, so Sada would know this. Mm-hmm. I don't believe in cheat days. Mm-hmm. I don't believe in cheat meals. I don't believe in good food, bad food. Mm-hmm. I believe in processed food and whole food.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Processed food could be things like canned beans.
Yeah.
That's what I mean by, there's high processed food, there's low processed food, and there's whole food.
They see anything in the middle of the grocery store.
Pretty much. Yeah. And like, mm-hmm. when you look at it, is, you know, whole food, you're gonna feel more satiated. Mm-hmm. High processed, high palatable foods, you're gonna wanna eat more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sis, you bring me a bag of chips, I know my self-control.
Mm-hmm.
So I also, though, will honor those cravings. If I want chips and I got the calories for it, yeah, I'll have some.
Yeah. Right?
Because I'm not dieting. I'm mm-hmm. not competing for anything specific.
Yeah.
I have clients who come to me and they're like, I want to lose 20 pounds in 4 months for my wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at them and I'm like, okay, are you ready to cut out all eating out?
Mm-hmm.
All, if, like, whatever habits you, are you ready to fully 100% commit?
Yeah.
There is no eating out.
No.
There is none of this. 4 months, you are tuned in. They say yes, then it is extremely regimented.
Mm-hmm.
But if I get a client who comes and is like, look, I just want to feel better about myself, man.
Mm-hmm.
I want to learn food. I want to learn better habits.
Yeah.
We got time, sis.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got time. There is no rush.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the difference when you establish bases with clients.
Yeah. Right.
But when you teach someone good and bad, mm-hmm. we're human beings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You tell someone bad. You tell someone sorry. You tell someone bad.
Yeah.
What do they do?
They're gonna want it more.
Exactly.
And or they're gonna eat it and feel bad eating it.
Yeah, you develop a bad like, yeah.
And then they feel guilt.
Mm-hmm.
Then they feel shame.
Yeah.
And that's even worse.
Yeah.
That's even worse.
Mm-hmm. So that's the thing that even for me, I myself, like, I tell Sarah, I eat a cookie every day.
Yeah.
I have a very like,
I have
no self-control when it comes to sweets. Like I was literally at someone's house the other day and they were having something there where they had cake, cookies, sabusas, all this stuff. I ate everything. Right. But I feel like, the ultimate goal, I think, is what you kind of are promoting here, is like getting to a level where you kind of can intuitively eat. I don't know if you ever heard of like the intuitive diet. I think what's her name promoted it, Stephanie Buttermore. I don't know if you've heard of her. She's also a Canadian. Oh, she's more American.
Oh, but, yeah. Stephanie Buttermore, we love her. Jeff Nippard.
Yeah, I love Jeff Nippard.
He is like this basis bro science meets science.
Yeah.
It's great.
The guy literally made it, like came out with a article. Not article. What do you call it when you get published? Is it an article? Okay, yeah. He came out with an article.
<He's> published paper.
A paper, yeah. So like this guy is really dedicated to the craft of just like optimizing for diet and also for working out.
Mm-hmm.
But she came out with something called intuitive eating, where like essentially you don't calorie count, you just get to a level. Of course it takes time, but you get to a level where you can kind of like just, hey, if I want a piece of cake, I'll have a piece of cake.
Mm-hmm.
But I won't feel bad about it. Mm-hmm. You just kind of like intuitively in your mind can be like, okay, I'm gonna eat this and like I can cut from here or do this over time, and eventually you get to a level where you get to like a good healthy mindset when it comes to food.
And the one thing I want to touch on there,
because
I fully agree with you,
mm-hmm.
but the one thing I want to touch on there is your discipline that you might have with food.
Oh, yeah.
Someone else might not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like, people's relationship with food is so personal
mm-hmm.
that the advice you give them, the tips you give them,
yeah,
they might listen to it, but at the same time, they might just, like... So, mm-hmm. with intuitive eating... There's some clients that I have that I might give them to.
Yeah.
But a lot of clients I don't.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had a client where I said to her, she had a very specific, like, she had like 1/4 cup of almonds.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's about 200, 225 calories.
Yeah. Those are, people don't realize how many calories are in nuts.
She goes, oh, instead of measuring it, I took a handful. I said, sis, I just want you to know, like, I now want you to take your cup.
Yeah.
Like, I want you to pour almonds. So she did a hand.
Yeah.
She poured almonds. And I said, put them on the scale so you can weigh it out. It was like 600-700 calories. And she's like, oh yeah, maybe, and because she was saying how she struggles with losing weight, and
yeah.
I said, here's a prime example of intuitive eating.
Mm-hmm.
A handful is not that good when it comes to almonds.
It definitely takes time. Like intuitive eating is like the final level, essentially, right? Like at least that's how I've thought about it, because I've gone to a level where throughout my journey, like, you know, I've kind of like fluctuated. I'll go to 210 pounds, I'd be at 190, 180, but now I've gone to like a pretty good middle area to where my diet's pretty consistent And I know that usually I eat less calories during the week, so I can play a little bit more on the weekends. So everybody kind of finds their rhythm, right? Mm-hmm. I know not to keep snacks in the house because anything in the house is getting eaten.
I have a candy bar at my house.
No, you don't.
Yeah, it's actually really cool.
You have that much self-control?
Yeah.
See, that's the difference between us. Like, if I had that, it would be done in a week, in like 2 days.
But two things. Yeah. One, I love hosting.
Okay.
So I always have friends over.
Yeah.
Two, I very much, like, I am one of those people, practice what you preach. Mm-hmm. If I tell my clients, don't eat out, don't do this, don't do this, and then I got a snack, I got a candy bar at my house, the math is not mathing.
Yeah, you know.
Do as I say, not as I do.
I'm just saying.
It's not 1948. Okay, there's no.
Drink. I'm sure there's some dentists out here who are not flossing every night. Okay,
I don't.
Probably
know.
Not.
Yeah,
maybe.
I just think because, like, as I've gone through experiences in my life,
yeah, mm-hmm.
really wanting to build like a healthy and safe environment for women mm-hmm. to actually get help,
yeah.
with weight loss, weight gain, learn more about food, mindset coaching.
Mm-hmm.
I very much tune into a place when it comes to that aspect of life
mm-hmm.
that I'm very tuned into.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very, like, I'm dialed in. There's some things in my life, straight up, I can work on, and I do. But when it comes to this,
yeah.
this is, like, because I try to give genuine, honest help and advice and, like, perspective mm-hmm. and knowledge, I'm like, no, I'm dialed in. I tell you to journal, I journal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I tell you blueprint your mind. Have you ever heard of blueprinting your mind?
No, I've literally never
heard. It is one of the best practices you would probably ever
do. When you say, okay, just to give you an idea of what I thought of when you said blueprint your mind, I'm like, so you're like mapping out your thoughts or like you're trying to, am I close?
You're very
close. Yeah, I'm kind of impressed right now.
It's like taking all the thoughts in your head and like compartmentalizing them or something.
Wow. But,
yeah, actually.
Okay.
Now, the one step I would add into yeah. that, though, you take it out and you actually put it on, like, so I have a whiteboard in mm-hmm. my house and I write my thoughts out.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever's going on, I don't gotta go deep.
Yeah.
I just need to get it out of here and put it on something.
Mm-hmm.
So clients come, I'm overwhelmed. All right, let's blueprint your mind out. Sometimes mm-hmm. we do it together. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they do it by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But we go through it. So, like, you, if I tell you to do it, I do it.
Yeah.
If I tell you, like, whatever I tell my clients, did you do your cardio? Did I do my cardio this
mm-hmm.
week? Did you work out? Did I work out this week?
Mm-hmm.
It's the genuine accountability that I hold people to, that I hold myself to. Mm-hmm. Now, I have weeks where I might be sick and yeah. I won't get all my workouts in. I'm not going to hate myself for it, but it's just understanding that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, like, I feel like we kind of agree. I thought we would disagree more.
Why?
On this. I don't know, because I'm always, like, I feel like I'm always fighting these guys on when it comes to, like, these things. But you know what? It's because I am coming from a very male point of view mm-hmm. from a lot of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I try to account for the fact, okay, you guys are going through hormones. But at the end of the day, I was always like, you know, but calories in, calories out. Calories in, calories out. But, like, I have to understand, you know,
yeah.
it takes time. You guys aren't at
my level. Say it, because you're about to. I knew he was thinking that. It's not even that. It's not even that. Yes. Okay.
No. Okay.
But
like,
two things can be true.
Like, yeah, you're going through your own journey. I'm literally critiquing your journey at the beginning. Like, if someone critiqued my journey at the beginning, then I would probably be
discouraged.
Yeah, I would be discouraged as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I have to come from that standpoint as well. Okay. Yeah.
I want to give you something.
Okay.
Where. Because I feel like you have a lot of strong female presence in your life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you this as maybe a different perspective.
Yeah.
Calories in, calories out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want you to take a woman.
Mm-hmm.
She's a mom. She has three kids.
Mm-hmm.
She works. She takes care of her kids.
Mm-hmm.
She cooks. She cleans. And her husband, we'll call him the provider. He takes care of the bills. So she does all these other things. She still works, though.
Yeah.
And she takes care of three kids. Where will she find time? Tell me. She mm-hmm. wakes up in the morning, gets the kids ready for school, drops the kids off at school, gets mm-hmm. their lunches ready. She'll probably eat here and there bits and pieces because she's running around like crazy.
Yeah, sounds like a dad needs to start, you know, helping out.
Yeah, you're right. But yeah. unfortunately,
it's not the case. Yeah.
culture plays a massive part in this. Culture has primed this.
Yeah.
Right? And unfortunately, society is kind of now wanting that more than anything.
Yeah.
But
shout out to the red pill.
Yeah. So husband's gone. He's already at work. So the mom has to now get the kids ready for school, pack their lunches, her get ready, drop the kids off at school, go to work, pick up the kids, come home, undress the kids, take care of the kids, get their snacks ready, get dinner ready, husband comes home, have dinner with husband, now get the kids ready for bed. Where did she have time to meal prep?
Yeah.
Where did she have time to go to the gym? Now that's her 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. Saturday rolls around, she has to clean the house. Maybe her and her man have time to go do clean the house, go grocery shopping, go see the in-laws, go see her parents. It's now Sunday night. Where was their time? Now take that and make it a single mom.
Okay, yeah. The, when you say the single mom, then yeah, then this, like, the solution there is a lot harder. Yeah.
That's, so when someone like that comes to you and they go, look, I hate my body. I want to feel better about myself. Why don't you just exercise and eat well? Where's your compassion?
Yeah.
Where's your empathy? Because that person deserves compassion.
Yeah.
They deserve empathy. You can't, like, these are the people that will come, or you, like, and trying to help someone like that starts with a lot of, have you ever looked in the mirror and said, I'm proud of you? And then they break down crying because, no, they've never done that. When was the last time you called yourself pretty? A year ago? Because her husband also doesn't do that? Do you know how common that is?
Yeah.
More than I'd like to admit. And when I, like, so when I say that I'm trying to build this community for women is, like, it's not, let me make this very clear. It's not screw men. No. Yeah. It's just women learning habits where they can also put themselves first. And tools and tricks and tips and these things that help them also be better versions of themselves. Because homegirl's already pouring from an empty cup.
Yeah.
There's nothing there.
Right.
So yeah, that, like, that's where I come into play.
Yeah, and I definitely agree with that perspective. Like, that's, I feel like if I was given that scenario, I would definitely feel like I give a lot more compassion. You know, also one thing to add is, like, when I'm speaking to Sara and, like, my cousin, like, when someone's a lot closer to you like that, and you know their situation from the most part, then, okay. But yeah, but I definitely, that definitely makes sense. Everybody's different. Their scenarios are different. Like, you're going to have to modify for their situation and be compassionate to whatever is going on in their life at the time, right? I bet you, though, I bet you there will be some men who will, like, hear what you're saying on the podcast and be like, oh, she hates men. Well, even if that's like not even what you're going for, unless you're about to say you
actually hate men. I was going to say, like, what's because of my own life experiences and, like, no, I love men.
Yeah.
It's more so just giving women a space.
Exactly.
Like a wholesome space.
Yeah.
So if you got to edit it to make it seem like I don't hate men.
No.
Please do.
I'm saying, like, no matter what you say as a woman, the moment you say you're doing something for women, men just see it as an attack on them. So, and even me saying that, they're probably mega gonna hear this listen and be like, oh, this guy's definitely like a simp. Yeah, simp.
No, not at all. Let's just drop some bars here.
Okay. Let's start dropping.
Let me drop some bars for you here.
Yeah.
Now, as a woman, you're born.
Mm-hmm.
And you're put into this box. In this box, you are told to act a certain way, talk a certain way, dress a certain way, be a certain way. You don't live for you. You live for everyone around you. The decisions you make are not for you. They're for everyone around you. Who you want to love, it's not for you. How does your family feel about it?
Yeah.
How does the community feel about it? The decisions you make They're not preach for you. They're for everyone around you. Mm-hmm. You are in this glass box. Mm-hmm. And once you leave one area of your life and you enter a different area of your life, mm-hmm. now how do these people feel about it? Mm-hmm. The decision you make, whether you want to get a promotion, how does this person feel about it? You want to do something different. Well, what are people going to say? Mm-hmm. How many times have you heard in your life, what are people going to say?
Oh, yeah. My gosh. I'm sure the women get that a lot more.
Mm-hmm. So it's not that I'm not giving men attention. It's, babe, you got people for you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But a lot of women of color don't. Mm-hmm. A lot of women of color go to places and spaces and they just get told, move out.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't work.
Yeah.
Mm. Like, the unfortunate truth, not everyone has that luxury. And that's also another cultural societal thing. Like,
yeah,
there's so many factors that come into being a woman that when you are in a space of wanting to truly support women in all realms, and hey, I'm not perfect and I can fully admit that.
Mm-hmm.
I work on myself every day. Mm-hmm. I try to be better every day.
Yeah. It helps to have someone who's also working on and on their own journey, right?
Yeah. So like
you feel more connected to that.
Mm-hmm. I humanize myself to my clients
mm-hmm.
because I want them to know that, no, I'm not this.
Yeah.
Let's do that. No.
I got everything figured out.
But I try.
Yeah.
And because I know the vision I have and where I want to go.
Mm-hmm.
I want a lot from life, and I'm willing to do what it takes to get what I want from life.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, within confines, you guys get what I mean.
Yeah.
But yeah. And that's how I move.
Mm-hmm.
So giving you that is, this is how women live, and they don't even realize it
mm-hmm.
until they do something that's not within the confines. And then they go, wait, why did you do that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You said no when you would typically say yes.
Mm-hmm.
She said, no, she's disrespectful. No, I just actually really wanted to work out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this was in my schedule. Now, if I do this thing for you, I won't have time to do the thing for me anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you start to say no more. They get angry.
Mm-hmm.
You start to put yourself first more. They get angry. And needing to have tools to cope with that is so important.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you just feel shame and guilt because you said no. Because you want to do something for yourself instead.
Yeah.
That is so common.
I'm sure that's something you guys get a lot more too. Because like for me, everyone knows for me, I prioritize working out. Like my health and fitness thing is like, if I have a workout that day, whatever else I have to do is scheduled around that, right? But mm-hmm. I'm sure that when you as a woman say like, oh no, I'm actually working out at that time, they're like, oh, that's not important. Like they don't take it seriously.
What do you feel about that? I want your true take on it.
I think
I'm sure is that something you can relate
to? Yeah, that's my life story.
Mm-hmm.
But you know that, and that's something that her and I have been working on for the last 2 years that we've been working together mm-hmm. is like learning how to prioritize like what you need for yourself,
yeah.
right? Whether that's going for a walk, whether that's I need to schedule time out now to meal prep.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure people that are listening to this are like, you can't be that busy. Like, oh, walk a mile in my shoes, okay? Mm-hmm. Try it. Like, but at the same time, I think that women are raised and taught to be selfless,
mm-hmm.
whereas men are raised and taught to be selfish.
Mm-hmm.
So like there's that constant struggle. No, you know, for me in my personal situation, like it's been a long time coming. So I think there are changes,
mm-hmm.
you know, where I can actually try and advocate for myself and then get what I want and yeah. what I need.
Now you can start driving forward to your new destinations.
Exactly.
You know, with your own vehicle.
I saw what you were trying to do.
Sorry, but yeah.
We both saw her car.
Yeah.
I Googled her car. I said.
And so, like, I think, you know, whether you're a single mom or you're just a single woman who maybe is a career woman, like mm-hmm. you're working, like life isn't easy. It wasn't meant to be easy for us.
And yeah.
it's unfortunate because of the society that we're in. Like
mm-hmm.
the odds are against us in every aspect, whether it's work, whether it's like, you know, our friggin' bodies betray us sometimes. Mm-hmm. And you're like, man, you know, there are weeks sometimes and you can ask her like, and I'm really getting into the personal, which I don't do, but
mm-hmm.
I'll work so hard 1 week and I'm like, you know, I'll do my measurements and I'm like, what the F? Like, mm-hmm. I don't understand. And then when we're doing our check-in, she'll be like, okay, so like 10 out of 10 for workouts, 10 out of 10 for nutrition. She always says, how was your mental health? Did you get any sleep this week? Mm-hmm. What's your stress like? And if those are, if my stress is high, my sleep was low,
yeah,
my mental health is like, eh, then we know like, okay, this is the issue. But the weeks where my mental health is great, mm-hmm. I got like 7+ hours of sleep. I'm not super stressed. It's like a fantastic week. My energy is like 110%. Like, it's so crazy how these things could impact you. And I'm like, man, to be a guy, like I really feel Beyonce when she says, if I was a boy, because yeah. I'm like, if I was a boy, life would be so easy. Mm-hmm. Like, truly. And I'm not saying that because I'm ignorant. And like, I'm sure as a man, you have things that men struggle with.
Yeah.
Like 1,000%. I think
the grass. It's nothing compared to y'all. So I understand that at least.
Okay. The one thing I kind of want to put in here is like, mm-hmm. I don't want to put the tone mm-hmm. of damsel in distress.
Mm. Yeah.
No, babe. It's mm-hmm. not that. Mm. Mm-hmm. It's generational trauma. It's cultural programming. Mm-hmm. It's not damsel in distress.
Yeah.
Like, I think where we're at in this day and age, men have their own challenges. Mm-hmm. Women have their own challenges. And I think that a lot more women are just really actually wanting to work on themselves more.
Yeah.
That it might seem like damsel in distress, but it's not. Mm-hmm. Because when you have, like, a woman of color who's now ready to, like, okay, I want to work on myself. Mm-hmm. And she goes to someone who might not be able to understand her. Mm-hmm. The possibility that she feels discouraged is quite high because the resources might not be there for her.
Yeah.
But when you can truly empathize and sympathize with someone, you'll be able to help them more. Mm-hmm. That's why you might go through 4 different therapists before you find your therapist.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I don't want it to be like damsel in distress. I just think that a lot more women now are going, no, like, there's things I got to work on mm-hmm. that I need proper support for. Mm-hmm. And, like, I know one thing, you and I talk about this all the time, but mm-hmm. apparently you also talk about it on your podcast a lot. And it's, like, getting married or, like,
yeah.
dating.
Mm-hmm.
You've made no comment about being married, so I'm also going to assume you're single.
I'm not married.
Okay, sorry. I think dating and marriage is like a big topic, mm-hmm. right? Yep. But if you're still trying to figure out who you are, sis, who do you know what? How do you know what guy you want mm-hmm. in your life? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yourself. If you're trying to figure yourself out still, how do you know what you want your wifey to be? Mm-hmm. I don't believe in having to have yourself 100% figured out to be in a relationship.
Yeah.
But I do believe that there are certain things that you do need to establish internally before you can navigate that. Mm-hmm. And if you're moving through people-pleasing tendencies, getting married as you're trying to heal that
yeah.
and work through that,
yeah,
I think that that's something that's really important to even acknowledge.
Yeah, for mm-hmm. sure.
And that's yeah.
No, that's true, because a lot of people, like, especially if you have those people-pleasing tendencies, you might get deep into a relationship and realize, like, you're really just kind of agreeing and following through, and even things that you were seeing as red flags, you're kind of just brushing them off because you didn't want to create any tension or, like, any like, real issues in the situation, right?
Yeah.
Because you felt like, oh, as long as, you know, he's happy or she's happy, then, you know, we'll be good. Because in your head, in your people-pleasing tendencies, that's how you rationalize everything, right?
But even then, like, people pleasing only ends up hurting you. And then it eventually ends up hurting definitely. The other person, too, mm-hmm. because you're slowly betraying yourself. You're no longer going to be happy. You're not going to be able to be everything for that person.
Yeah.
And then the relationship's going to have a breakdown. And you're mm-hmm. like,
well, eventually they get exposed. Wrong? Yeah.
I gave them everything.
Mm-hmm. And then there's resentment.
Yep.
Oof. Mm-hmm. I think some of the worst. No, let me reword myself. I think some of the hardest feelings to feel mm-hmm. is resentment, yep. shame, and guilt. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because they're almost like, it's regret. It's mm-hmm. literally regret.
Yeah.
And what's different one thing versions. You can't do is go back in time and mm-hmm. change things. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's really important to even just acknowledge these things. Mm-hmm. as you're trying to navigate.
Yeah.
I know so many people who are single right now and struggling to date, get married, because within them trying to figure themselves out, they are just like, well, what does this person want? What does this person want? I want a provider. I want a guy who makes over six figures. Sis, do you make over six figures?
Right.
And it's not even the money. It's not this. It's not provider mentality. It's, do you all flow?
Yeah, it's very surface level stuff that they mention initially.
Yeah, yeah, like, do you flow? Can you have a mentally stimulating conversation? Do you guys support each other? Do you push each other? Do you challenge each other? Do you love each other? Like, there's so many of these different things that have come to play that, yeah, I want to get married. Yeah, I love love. But I need to understand these things first. What am I even looking for?
Right.
Yeah. If that's still changing, then you definitely don't know. You shouldn't be getting into any relationship and like that.
Especially getting married while you're still trying to evolve.
Yeah.
That person either has to continue to follow you or one of y'all is getting left in the dust. And y'all just like, so yeah, I noticed you guys talk about it a lot on your podcast. Yeah. The amount of times. So today's goal, get Sada married. And I'm like, y'all really just going in on her.
Hey, hey, the numbers are good. I'm just saying, okay?
The numbers are clear. The pressure's on.
But yeah, we got on really a huge tangent there. We were going through your, we were going through your journey. You just became, you were 18, and then we're like, okay. But then again, I guess that is everything. We kind of did cover a lot of your journey. We didn't talk about timeline specifically, but I feel like everything that you did after you became a trainer, when it comes to your company and the things that your,
we really
your goals.
We did just move from topic to topic to, I noticed you guys also do that a lot, so I'm going to blame you guys, not me. Nah, my tangents.
What, there were some like last like random questions that I had, just like not even serious questions. Okay.
Okay.
First off, why is it, because you're a nutritionist, you know, you've done, but you say you're not really into the, like the science of it, or you know?
I am into the science of it. Now, as someone who, let me make this very clear.
Yeah.
As someone who, when it comes to working with the human body, like a doctor, whatever your profession might be, I am a personal, I am a certified personal trainer. I'm a lower back specialist, pre and postnatal specialist, nutrition coach.
Okay.
Like, I got those things.
You got the credentials.
I got the credentials. These are my credentials.
You got the creds,
But when you, like, for me to give you advice on the neuroscience of your brain, my knowledge is limited there.
Yeah, I'm not going that deep.
No, I'm just like, I'm giving you an example here. My knowledge is limited. And I respect that in the sense of, you might know more than me.
Yeah.
So you might be able to educate me more than that. Gotcha. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, like with my science, I know what I know. I'm not going to guess and hypothesize. I hypothesize to myself, which is why I'm doing this like experiment right now.
Yeah.
But
which we'll get to.
Oh, I guess so. Yeah. I hypothesize within myself, but from, I'm not going to broadcast something I assume. And especially when a lot of people love hearing fitness advice and nutrition advice. If I'm not sure, I'll talk to you about it in our check-ins. I'm not going to say it online. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
for sure.
Especially just when it comes to things where people soak it up so quickly that I don't want to be the reason someone does something wrong.
Yeah. Okay, these are more like, they're, you know, it's not going to kill anyone, okay?
Yeah.
Like the other thing that I debate a lot of people on is like cardio is almost... high intensity cardio, depending on what your goal is, but for the most part, like if you're just going for strength and fitness, I feel like high intensity cardio isn't really needed. I feel like going on a walk, taking like a 40-30 minute walk is more than enough cardio for your average person to get in, and then you can focus on like doing, you know, some resistance training so you can start building some muscle, but also building some like bone density and all those things that are also important. So I always try and prioritize resistance training versus cardio, because I see people come into the gym sometimes who are doing 60 minutes on like the Stairmaster and that whatever you call it, the elliptical, and then they just leave. I'm like, you can literally burn, you can burn, see, you can literally burn just as much calories doing some low intensity cardio and doing some resistance training. So I don't know, what's your philosophy on that?
What's their goal?
Okay, so you say for you it's more like, but you agree that like low intensity walking is a good form of cardio, right?
Sis, move your body.
Yeah, moving your body.
Yeah,
in general.
That's where I stand.
Yeah.
Low intensity, steady state cardio. That's what you can do. That's your capacity.
Yeah.
Cool.
And how about resistance training? Do you, for at the end, you can always just caveat saying like, oh, what's your goal? But I do prioritize resistance training. I say resistance training is very important for anyone who's kind of trying to get into like a healthy lifestyle in general.
I fully agree.
Okay.
Now let me take a step back.
Yeah.
Someone does the Stairmaster for an hour. First of all,
yeah,
that's hard.
Take your flowers. Yeah. Take your flowers.
Yeah.
So first and foremost,
mm-hmm.
but what if their goal is they want to run the Great Wall of China? Truthfully.
Yeah. Yeah. True.
Truthfully.
That's how you train for it.
What if someone's goal is
every person on the elliptical?
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I think that, so that's an example, right?
Yeah.
What if they're a marathon runner? Right. They gotta run. Yeah. That's their goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, in an overall, now we talk longevity.
Yeah.
Resistance training, there is a lot of scientific research to resistance training, strength training, and how it helps you age.
Yeah.
I'm very much simplifying it, but... Mm-hmm. Strengthening your bones, the ligaments around your joints.
That's a big thing that I tell a lot of people.
That
yeah.
when you're 60 and you've been working out for 40 years and you might fall, that injury that would have happened when you are in a much more fragile place in your life.
Yeah.
If you didn't exercise, you could have broken your knee.
Yeah. Right.
And then your quality of life just starts to go down.
Mm-hmm.
But cardio... Amazing for lung capacity.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing for your cardiovascular system, right?
Yeah.
So, everything has a place.
Right? Yeah.
But if I get a client who tells me, I have 30 minutes three times a week to work out. Mm-hmm. I hate the gym, so I can commit to you for 90 minutes a week to exercise. All right, you're going to go buy this, 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 this. Mm-hmm. You're going to set up a home gym. Here's a 30-minute circuit.
Yeah.
Do it.
Mm-hmm.
There might be cardio involved.
Mm-hmm.
There might... So, yeah. The... Honestly, it's funny that you say kind of like the scapegoat is it depends.
Mm-hmm.
I reached a point
mm-hmm.
where I used to give you an answer for everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I feel like as I've actually evolved as a coach,
mm-hmm.
I feel smarter now that I say it depends.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm actually able to slow down, ask you questions to get a better understanding of what you're asking me. So true. I can deliver something better to you.
Exactly. And like you mentioned earlier, you also don't want to say something and you have a lot of women who might be listening or even men who might be listening and be like, oh, she's a professional. You know, she's saying, especially, don't do this.
Especially in a time now where literally anybody can go online and give you fitness advice or health advice. And they're saying, take this supplement and do this diet. And if you drink this, you'll lose 10 pounds in 4 days.
Yeah.
So many different things. And as someone who is, I don't want to say a slave to consumerism, but as someone who falls for things easily, ask her how many times, I would literally go into our check-ins. I'm like, hey, so I was on TikTok and I saw this thing. And she's like, enough with TikTok. Mm-hmm. Stop taking advice.
What's your opinion on all these fads you've been seeing recently with
how long do you want this conversation to be?
How long will we go for?
How long do you guys want your podcast? I feel like this is going to be a long pod. How long you want to go for?
Give us the TLDR, the too long didn't read summary.
Okay. I'm experimenting with fads myself to actually see the validity of them.
Okay, that's a smart move.
Back to the to take it back a couple of topics ago where we spoke about how you hate diets.
Mm-hmm.
Or specific diets, anyways.
Yeah.
She's in the middle of doing one right now.
Yeah. Which one? Oh, the vegan.
So this year, I've committed to trying 4 different diets, but not just doing them. So 2 months vegan, 2 months keto, 2 months intermittent fasting, 2 months carnivore. There will be a short break in between each one to get my body to readjust.
Yeah.
But at the beginning of every diet, I've gotten my blood work checked. So within my blood work, there's a list. Okay, we're talking, I've gotten my hormones, calcium, iron, vitamin, vitamin D, B, like all of them.
Yeah.
I've gotten my estrogen checked, my progesterone checked, my testosterone levels, my cortisol, everything.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
Every single day, I have a scaling system I go through.
Mm-hmm.
My energy levels, my mental clarity, my sleep quality, my strength in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. So this is something that I'm like fully committed to.
Are you documenting this journey?
Everything.
Okay, perfect. Yeah.
Everything
yeah.
is being documented.
Yeah. YouTube, come on.
Let's see. Some of it's online, some of it's not. Like, yeah. Tomorrow will be officially 5 weeks being vegan.
Wow.
Mm.
And you probably hate yourself. Not too
bad. You know what? Like, I've discovered. And oh, the other thing was non-biased.
Yeah.
My guy, I'm Lebanese. Mm-hmm. I come from a family of butchers. Okay. I don't know what it's like to not eat meat.
Yeah.
And I've now gone 5 weeks without it.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine, honestly. I couldn't.
It was really hard at first, and then mm-hmm. it got really easy. And then as I was flying out here, mm-hmm. I was like, man, I know Toronto has good food.
Yeah.
And I walked outside my hotel to like a shawarma shop, and I was like, can I get a falafel?
Oh, no. But you know, at least you, whenever you have a vegan, maybe in the future, you can relate to them yeah. in
and
that manner.
So two reasons I'm doing yeah. this. Reason one, I have worked with clients who have been vegan before. Mm. So being able to actually, again, empathy is very important, yeah. as you can tell. Being able to empathize with people.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is, I want to know if it works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I can tell you, hands down, 5 weeks in, if you have gut health issues, mm-hmm. if you have digestive issues, eating a plant-forward diet will help you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
This is 5 weeks. So I got 3 weeks.
I'll have to be
to
like completely on my deathbed, constipated before I'll try. But it's good to know. It's good to know.
Yeah, like, I can fully tell you that. Uh-huh. Yeah. 100%. Energy levels?
Yeah.
Different story.
Mm-hmm.
Different story.
But I feel like when you're in a vegan diet, are you not getting more carbs than normal?
You are.
But I guess they're really very simple carbs, aren't they?
So this is where, you know how earlier I said it depends?
Yeah.
There are certain minerals you get from different foods mm-hmm. that your body uses, okay?
Yeah.
So meat has certain vitamins and minerals.
Like B12, I think, something like
B12.
That.
B12!
Yeah.
I slammed this because B12, the way I said, because there are certain vitamin supplements you have to take if you're vegan
yeah.
to ensure your body runs efficiently. Mm-hmm. One of them was B12. Now, for those who don't know, B12 is a vitamin that pretty much turns the food you eat in your body mm-hmm. to energy. Mm-hmm. Very layman, very simple terms. Okay?
Yeah.
That is what helps convert the nutrients in your body to energy.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't take it.
What?
Well, you're still not taking it?
No, oh, okay. First 4 days, yeah. I didn't take it.
Yeah.
Did you feel a difference?
What did I tell you? It was day 4. I was exhausted. I had slept like 9 hours.
Yeah.
I woke up. I'm so tired. I have my coffee. I'm like, I'm so tired becoming a personality trait of mine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, this is not the case.
Like, every other word is like, I'm tired.
No, like, literally. Yeah. I couldn't work out. I was exhausted.
Yeah.
I went to a coffee shop. I was like, let me motivate myself. Dressed cute. Went to a coffee shop. Do some work. Mm-hmm. I fell asleep.
Hopefully on the laptop so no one can take it from you.
Yeah, no, I like, fell asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And then I woke up and I said, B12.
Mm-hmm. But you knew about B12 before.
I did.
Then, no?
I just, it slipped my mind.
Yeah.
And then I took it. And then like 3 days later, the energy yeah. came back up. And I said, I was shocked.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's the only thing I know about veganism, people who are on a vegan diet, B12 is like the biggest missing link. Mm. Or like the thing that needs to be supplemented for sure. That's why it was the first thing I came to mind.
No,
like,
you're so right, because yeah. I forgot.
Mm-hmm.
I fell asleep at a coffee shop.
I can't imagine, like, first off, you're doing the first two, the worst two. Is you're doing vegan and then keto, right?
You said the worst two.
Okay. When I say the worst two, I mean like even me as someone who's, you know, had pretty strict diets. Like, I meal prep everything every single day. Well, except for the weekends. Even for me, that sounds daunting, right? So
I'm actually scared.
Mm-hmm.
more conscious the most of carnivore.
Mm. Oh, really?
Because you only eat meat product. period.
I thought you ate, like, you can also have fruit or something on top of that. No?
No. I don't think you, I don't think
it's
so.
It's purely animal product.
Okay.
Like eggs, dairy.
I could do it.
I don't think so. I would probably get sick of eating that much meat.
Girl, I'm thinking about my grocery bill, but that too.
That too. That too. That too, like, honestly. Like.
But yeah, so like, that's.
Yeah. But where would you get your carbs on? I guess everything would be because you would just eat the fat. Like, I guess you would probably have to have a lot of fish with fat in it or beef with fat in it.
For carnivore?
Like, yeah, for carnivore. You'd have to have a lot of high-fat meats, no?
Yeah. No, mm-hmm. I'm concerned for my cortisol levels on that. Or not, my cholesterol levels on that. Yeah,
I was just going to say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's purely going to be like a wanna know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've heard all these things.
Yeah.
And it gets so, like, as someone who's still growing their following on social media and putting themselves out there, it gets so eye-rolly when I see so many people post like fitness tips and content and like, get your flowers, sis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But please don't say the number one thing.
Yeah.
The best thing. This changed my life.
How to get six-pack abs.
Like, those things, it's like, if those worked for you,
yeah,
take your flowers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's not the one best thing. Mm-hmm. It's what worked for you, and that's amazing.
Yeah.
Right.
And if you want to help other people, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But when you see people who don't have credentials being like, do this to lose this much weight, do this to lose this much weight, where's your backup?
Mm-hmm.
Show me your credentials.
Who are your initial like motivating influencers? Like, who are the people that you looked up to initially?
Fun fact, Jeff Nippert, Stephanie Buttermore.
Yay.
Christian Guzman.
Mm-hmm.
Abby Sharp.
Abby Sharp, I've heard of.
She's based out of Toronto.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Ontario.
Mm. Oh, okay.
I don't know where exactly, but Ontario. Christian Guzman.
So you're like really into like Canadian influencers in general. Wait, I don't know. I don't know where Christian Guzman is from, though.
Houston.
I never, oh, okay.
Yeah, I would say those are like my influencers who really got me into like fitness stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just loved like I discovered Jeff Nippert because he did a partnership with the corporate gym I used to work at.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
And so I had heard of him like way back when.
Yeah.
Lane Norden is are we talking science or just like influence?
Influence in your whole fitness realm or even health and fitness realm in general.
Okay, then there's Lane. Okay, then I gotta switch it up a little bit. My bad. if we're talking like science.
Yeah.
Lane Norden, Jeff Nippert, Stephanie Buttermore, Abby Sharp is an excellent dietitian for people who have ED, eating disorders. And she is very big on intuitive eating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's awesome. Who else do I... Oh, Brett Contreras is another one, the glute guy.
Mm-hmm.
that's literally what he's called.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm going to be honest, I do a lot of research.
Mm-hmm.
So those are people who I would go to for advice.
A lot of them are very like bodybuilding focused too. From what I've like Jeff Nippert, Stephanie Buttermore for sure. I don't know about Abby Sharp.
She's like dietitian.
Okay, straight dietitian. Yeah.
Like straight dietitian. Mm-hmm. She's more in the we're talking 95% in the nutrition field.
Oh, okay.
5% in the but I like the way she what I love is when people cite information.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's not anecdotal. It's not this is my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
It's, no, here's the study to back it up. And that's what I appreciate. So I would say those are my bigger ones if I'm on, like, YouTube.
Yeah.
But I tend to just take courses if I want to, like, learn more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
Those are, honestly, anybody, though, I would recommend.
Yeah. And then...
And Marwa Shawish.
I was just going to say, like, end yourself.
And to go more into the actual fitness part of it, like... For me, the way that I stuck to fitness, and I feel like the only reason I would have stuck to fitness is because I found powerlifting eventually, and I got really into powerlifting, which isn't really the best on the joints for getting older. But, you know, it's my thing now. So did you have, like, a specialty that really kept you going? Because I feel like seeing progress in a specific sport or specialty is what kind of keeps people motivated. So what did you find?
Fun fact, mine was powerlifting too.
Was it?
Nice.
It was. I loved lifting heavy,
same.
Man.
I still love it.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I loved it until I like hurt my back.
Ooh,
and I said,
deadlifting?
Hip thrusting.
Hip thrusting. Why is it that girls can hip thrust so much? Okay, this is just another
side question. Strength pressure. In the leg.
Girls can hip thrust. I saw a girl. Sorry, this is just a man thing, okay? Oh. I saw a girl hip thrusting like three plates, something like that. I couldn't hip thrust like a single plate for more than 6 reps. I don't know what it is. Maybe physiologically women have like greater hip strength or something, or maybe I was just doing it wrong. Give birth, I don't know what it is. So. I guess so, yeah. Like, but there's something about hip thrust that girls are just like, no man can beat a woman in hip thrust. I don't know what it is about him. It's just impossible. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, but so for me it was powerlifting. Yeah. And then I hurt myself and I said, mm-hmm. I need to come back to a different approach.
Yeah.
Otherwise, yeah, it's more so I'm in a place now where I'm like, ooh, I forgot what it's like to lift heavy. Because I took some time off. I was afraid to hurt myself again.
Yeah.
It does happen. I think every person who does some powerlifting has a part. Like, I broke my rotator. I didn't break it. I sprained my rotator cuff. And I literally had to, like, physio for months. And I have tendonitis in my elbow right now. But, like, I feel like once you get used to it, you actually learn. I feel like you learn more going through it yourself. Because once you realize how to rehab it, in the future, if you have a client who maybe might be going through something, you have a little bit of experience, right? Of course, you can't say you're like a physiotherapist, but at least you can give them some advice. Mm-hmm. At least that's how I feel as someone who's like spoken to people who might have something similar to what's going I've gone through in the past.
Yeah.
So that's why I think powerlifting is like, it's interesting that you found powerlifting too.
Me, mm-hmm. 5'16", able to squat like 185 pounds. Okay. Yeah, that was cool. That was so cool. Yeah, now I'm just more in like a, I'm getting back into like lifting heavy. I don't have any specific sport per se.
Yeah,
that I would put myself into. Mm-hmm. I think I'm actually just more so in a space where I'm trying to find a balance between being a boxing coach.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say that, let me get this straight. Still learning.
Yeah.
but like also then being a personal trainer and like wanting to try hot yoga and like wanting to try Pilates and like what are my goals?
Yeah.
They don't align with like powerlifting anymore.
Yeah, because that's also like it really hinders your mobility. And like recovery is a big thing when it comes to powerlifting. So
tell me why I was 20 with cracking knees.
Yeah.
Why would you want to do that then?
Because it feels good.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I was gonna say it feels badass. You said good, so I was like, okay.
You know, that's actually better. You know, exactly. That's what it is. You know, but when you're lifting 600 pounds, you're like, yeah, okay.
Okay, whatever. But knowing that you're prone to injury,
yeah,
wouldn't you, especially now, because you've gone through it, you've healed. Mm-hmm. Do you take the?
Yeah, now I take precautions. Like now, I come if I'm doing bench that day, I know I bring in a band. You warm up your shoulders, you do all that stuff. Mm. Before, I was younger, right? You just walk in, you put down the bench, and you start going at
you
it.
You don't know? Girl, at 16, no one tells you how to warm up.
Yeah. Warm up so what?
What's a warm up?
Yeah. Straight into lift.
You like, just go straight into
that's,
it.
No, that's crazy.
And then you learn. Then you watch videos, and they tell you how to warm up your hips.
Mm-hmm.
And
you go, yeah, you know, one of my biggest influences now is like, what is his name? Squat University.
Oh, that is that another guy. One. You are right. I'm sorry. I forgot to mention him.
He's really good.
He is awesome. Yeah. I agree.
His videos have helped me so much with like just overall physio whenever I need. Like my knees are horrible now. Mm. Getting over that, it's amazing. So if you ever need that, if you ever feeling something, search up whatever you're feeling, Squat University.
Yeah, he's excellent.
You'll find it.
Excellent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I do look forward to seeing your like journey with this, what you were just mentioning with it. I hope that are you filming it as well?
I am.
Okay. Yeah. If you're filming it, YouTube, TikTok.
She's not on YouTube yet.
I'm not on YouTube yet because like I really want to focus on building one platform.
Yeah.
And because I'm starting my Instagram from scratch.
Yeah.
I'm like I'm celebrating that I'm like I'm almost at 200 followers.
Yeah.
Na na boo boo. Like
everyone watching this episode.
Yeah.
Follow her. Are you accepting new clients?
I am. Men There's and a link women, in my right? bio. Men, you're going to go through a little bit more of a interrogation.
But don't let that discourage you. No. She's a great coach.
Thank you. Women, you are welcome with open arms.
Mm-hmm. There we go. All of her information will be in our description box. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like her Instagram, I'm sure Amir will like.
Yeah, I'll put it. I'll put it.
It'll be linked.
It's always here. Don't worry. It'll be in front of her, actually. Maybe. Yeah. We'll see. Yeah, but I'm really interested in seeing that journey, just like, because all of my thinking, okay, I'm sorry, I'm the analytics guy, okay? If you're trying to grow your platform, getting that stuff edited down in a way that, like, telling people, hey, I went on a 2-month journey, a vegan journey, to find out if it really works.
You need, you like, that? A hook on your video.
Did I tell you I hired a social media manager?
Yes, yeah. You told me. Oh, okay. Yeah. And I've noticed a shift in your content. I'm like, I see it.
We'll talk about more of this stuff after we're done the episode.
Oh, okay? Yeah. Okay, sorry.
I'm getting too much into it.
Yeah.
But yeah, did you have anything else that you wanted to cover or wanted to say, something you wanted to end off on? Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. End off on for the podcast.
Is there anything you guys want to ask me specifically before I go in then?
No, I answer all my weird questions, all my good questions. Okay.
The last thing I want to say is you are your best investment. And I stand on that 10 toes down. You want to get somewhere in life, you have to pour into you. You want to learn more, you want to be happy, you want better mental health, whatever it may be. You have to pour into yourself more, because if you don't pour into you, who will?
Preach.
Okay, we'll end on that. We'll end on that.
And on that note, everybody, we will see you guys.
Oh, you're just going to end it like that?
I'm sorry.
You got to close out. You got to say
I know. I'm sorry. Like, I don't know where I was going with that one. Let's cut that part out. On that note, I actually want to thank you for literally flying across the country to be here with us in person. I think we've like talked about this for a couple months now and just trying to like coordinate our schedules. And at first I'm like, yeah, you know, it can be virtual. She's like, no, I'll be there. And I was like,
okay.
Like, yeah. So, you know, thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure.
For, you know, sharing your experience with the people that are listening, that are watching on YouTube. I'm sure you guys are going to hit her up in the DMs. Make sure you do. Make her so busy that when I do my check-ins with her on Saturdays, she's like, oh my God, I can't even, like, you know, like I want to hear that from her. And I know you guys won't disappoint. We're excited to see you grow. Your channel Thank will you. Grow. Your page, sorry. And just like your journey through being a life coach, a personal trainer, a nutritionist, a boxing coach now, all of a sudden.
We don't really promote that one because it's still working on it. But
it's
like
a work in progress.
It's a work in progress, okay.
It'll be an eventual like thing that she offers.
So yeah, coming soon is currently on it right
now. Low-key, I know me mentioning that, so my coworkers are going to be like, lol, you're so cute. Especially when it comes to that.
But in a year, they'll be like, yeah.
In a year. Exactly.
We believed in her from the beginning.
Exactly. But yeah, make sure to follow her on Instagram. Hit her up if you guys want. And you can pick and choose whether it's like personal training or just so whatever your
link
needs are.
Link in bio, literally.
Oh, okay. So I was going to say, like, is there a specific link? Like, we can just direct to your Instagram. But
yeah, like, go to my Instagram. But link in bio.
Yeah, and then click the link in the bio. Yeah, exactly.
And then maybe with enough encouragement, she'll be on YouTube and her whole I tried this diet and this is how it went series maybe on YouTube one day. Who knows?
Yeah. I guess I really could have started that on YouTube. Hey?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's
literally
not too late.
I'm like, why haven't you? But we'll talk about this after.
I creeped through you guys' podcast and I was like, okay, I'm gonna stop talking.
And you guys know what to do. We're gonna tell you every week. Don't forget to subscribe if you want to see more content. Give us a follow on all of our social media platforms. It's Cousin Connection Pod.
When this comes out, it's gonna be Ramadan. So Ramadan Mubarak.
Oh yes, Ramadan Mubarak, everybody. We will start the Ramadan series next week. But on that note, I think we can actually end it here now.
Okay, guys.
Okay,
thank
see you next
for
week. Bye.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.